Welcome, everybody, to Heroes Asylum, issue 110. That is right. We are at 110. Want to wish everybody a happy Easter, a post-Good Friday. And we're going to cover some, some crazy news came out this week. Good movie. Great movie came out. We're going to review that. Talk about Winter Soldier. And, of course, we do this every week with myself and Kane. How you doing, my friend?
How you doing, sir?
I'm recovering a little bit.
Yeah. I'm recovering myself from my day job. So I just been relaxing a little bit. And but like you said, lots of good stuff that came out this week, and including a pretty big movie.
Yep. So yeah. So I want to start this off this week. I know it is my birthday weekend, but I always love celebrating my birthday with a few celebrities. And one of my favorite ones shares a birthday with me on April 2nd. The one and only Sir Alec Guinness shares a birthday with me. But also yesterday we had probably one of what we most people consider like the top Joker ever. Heath Ledger was his birthday. And today, Mr. Iron Man himself.
Tony Stark.
Yep. It celebrates a birthday today. So a fun birthday. I'm happy I share a birthday with some great folks, or at least a birthday weekend.
you got some pretty good company right there.
Yeah. I'm always happy when I look at that. I always like to look to see like celebrities.
And just think of this. You're the baby of the bunch of those.
All right, so what we're going to talk about, the big one, I guess we can just drop right into. Godzilla versus King Kong, or Kong, dropped this week. Oh, actually, dropped 2 weeks ago in the theaters, finally dropped on HBO Max. I was not able to catch it in the theaters. I want to go catch this in the theaters after watching this.
Okay. Yes, me too. That's one of the things I'm going to do. I'm going to make it a point probably. My schedule is so busy, but I'm going to try to do it next Saturday at least. Just before I get out of here, I want to see it in the big screen so badly. That's the one thing I had by watching the movie. I was like, man, this must be amazing. Mm-hmm. And the screen with the Dolby and all that. Like, it's just, wow. Like, it was itching just to be in big screen.
Yeah.
So I'm going to make it a point, hopefully, find me an AMC around here, because there's no Regal and they're not open anymore as of now. But I'm definitely going to check that out on the big screen. So,
well, hopefully maybe we can do a midnight movie review on it, since it is out digital. Maybe we can also, do a bonus little one. I think that'd be fun to do that.
That'd be a fun one to do. Actually, I'm going to talk about another Godzilla movie when we're done with this review in a minute, which is it's a real kicker. But keep going.
Well, yeah. I mean, if anybody's interested, pretty much HBO has all the Godzilla movies you can pretty much think of. I'm sure there's a few like weird knockoffs. But like the classics, they're all on HBO Max. Again, another reason I'm really pushing HBO Max. I was a little crappy on them because they killed off my DC universe, but they've really stepped up the game, I think, on the HBO Max and just the plethora. Pull a good Three Amigos quote out, but yeah, the plethora of like geeky, fun sci-fi movies that they have in there is just amazing.
Oh, their list is amazing. Amazing. Like I said, actually, the movie that I just finished watching is from HBO Max. So it's like literally I'd never seen like where was this? And when we get to it, it's just ridiculous. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, I mean, we're already gushing over it. Everybody pretty much knows it. We enjoyed the movie. We thought it was fun. It was everything I wanted it to be. But there's some kickback going on right now that there's a lot of folks that are kind of like a little upset with not upset. I think they just feel like the human factor in the movie was too much. And I know probably one of the biggest ones is because of the section with Miley Bobby Brown that, they're all like, well, why was she in there and everything? But I think her part could have been taken out, but at the same time, I don't think it added, but I don't think it'll detract if she's gone either.
I was just going to say that it didn't take anything away. Like, was it needed? No, not really. But it didn't it didn't take me out of the film. That's one of the big things. Like, I was fine with it. Yeah. It wasn't needed, but I was fine with it.
I mean, I think a lot of folks are like, the ones I read online were like, well, it's a kaiju. You don't really have to have a human connection. And yeah, you do. Every kaiju I've ever seen, like even the 60s, you had this human connection. You know, the father and the daughter, I think, was like one of the ones that always sticks out to me for one of the classic Godzilla ones. You always had that human connection, because other than that, it's the humans are just ants to the viewers. You need to have something to care about.
Even I believe Dr. Kurosawa in the first film, which was Ken Watanabe, and then he played in the second film. He had a connection to Godzilla because his great grandfather mm-hmm. was the one who created the original bomb that killed the first Godzilla.
Right.
So that was a nice tie-in from the original movie, and I have always liked that human connection because you keep that pace going, and I like that. And you had the twin girls with Mothra. Remember the twins?
Yeah.
Those two. That's another kaiju connection. So you kind of need that. You just can't have them like, ah! You can't have running, screaming ants. I don't want that. I do want those human connections. But, you know, it just depends on what you do it. You know, they didn't detract from me. They weren't the best. Were they the best part of the movie? No, but they didn't.
Yeah.
They were not distracting.
Well, the Millie Bobby Brown stuff that was on there really – She was that continuing storyline because her mother died in, was it the movie prior or the first movie?
The prior.
So again, there's that connection. At least, you know, they're at least tying that in that her dad's there. And then of course, you know, there's that storyline, which I love that storyline. I think that there was a more, that's where the humor came from, I think, because you needed that kind of tongue in cheek every once in a while. I think their storyline is where the humor came from, especially I wish I could remember the gentleman's name that played the conspiracy theorist.
The Monster Podcast. Yeah. I love that guy, man. Yeah. I was like, and I after watching the movie, I was thinking, I was like, in my head, because I had a couple of ale beer, which is actually a really good harvest beer. I'm thinking, like,
Were you trying to get promotion or something on us? Were you trying?
I was like, could I actually start a Monster Podcast?
You could.
I was like, Could I do that? I'm like, I do have all the equipment, but no. Like I said, and here's the thing. A lot of the times those characters like that in the movies, because you know they exist in tons of movies. There's always a character guy in there, a wild conspiracy theorist guy. And he's so outlandish and out there that he takes away from shit. And he takes away from he's distracting.
Yeah.
This wasn't distracting to me. Not at all. He had a story behind it, like especially the thing with his wife. I was like, okay, you know, once you say that connection right there, mm-hmm. I'm in, you know, I want to see where this guy's going to go. So it's just, like I said, not distracting, but it kind of added to the story to me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It added it, but it like, again, that's the Millie Bobby Brown series. It's like her story arc and everything had him in it. So she kind of needed to be there to be the ground from the prior movies. And yet bring this guy in to have that conspiracy and that fun part. And then, of course, I can never get the kid's name right that was in from Deadpool.
I forgot his name. He's like the larger, robust gentleman.
But yeah, no, I loved him. Any movie I've seen him in so far has always been great to see him, you know, see him in there. I'm always happy.
He was in the sequel to the Kurt Russell Santa Claus. He was like the bad elf.
Yeah.
He was, I forgot his name, but he was pretty hysterical.
Yeah, that was one of the movies I was thinking about, like that when he was, he showed up as the bad elf and you know, yeah. Got adopted. And then some of the great scenes. I mean, there were a few, like nods to different movies. Like we see the Lethal Weapon nod when Kong gets up and he's, you know, his shoulder's been dislocated and pops it back into place. A great movie that we've already done on the Midnight Movies, your show, was I took it as this, and you can say I'm wrong or not, because I'd say you're wrong when you read into something, but the scene when the main bad guy, the bad human who's doing stupid shit, when he dies straight out of Deep Blue Sea.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to give it away, but it just totally loosey. I was like, "Yo, really? We're doing this?" I'm like, "Okay."
But I love the conspiracy guy's reaction. Oh man, I wanted to hear the rest of that.
Yeah, where was he going?
I was really hoping looking to see where he was going.
He's on a roll. Like, why did he have to die like that?
Definitely watch it, guys. Enjoy it. 2-hour movie. It's fun. It's just it's a popcorn movie, and it's a great series for really. It's not a trilogy to me. I mean, it's a quadrilogy, I guess you would call it, or whatever you would call the fourth. Or yeah, was it quad? No, it's not quattro. Quadrilogy.
The quadrilogy. Yeah. Actually, yeah, those four little movies. Yeah, they all tie in together. And I think here's the thing: in their own way, they've made a universe that's attached. But it wasn't forced. Did you feel it was forced in any way? I felt
not at all.
Kind of, and all the movies. Each movie stands on its own, but part of a bigger universe, which I like. And I hope, especially with the box office results, I'm looking at like pre-pandemic, I guess this weekend it made almost $50 million.
Yeah, I think it beat out Wonder Woman. I know that much. It definitely did that.
I hope they continue. I really hope, and I hope they get wild and wacky.
I don't know much more. That's something somebody brought up to me, and I've seen a couple like, oh, I want more. Well, I think you actually posted that on our Facebook page. I wish they made more, but I'm like, I don't know. Where would they go? They've really conquered everybody.
Well, there's places they could go. They haven't gone to space yet.
I know, but yeah. I mean, as far as like the classic villains, the classic kaijus, they've conquered them all. They did the checklist at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, they literally did. It was kind of segues to another actually kaiju movie I was watching, and it's called Godzilla and Wars. I'm not sure if you ever seen it. It was literally on HBO Max, and I just finished watching. It's 2004. I gotta say, you talk about the human element in that movie compared to this one. The movie, the human element and Wars is ridiculous. It's like ridiculous. Basically, you have these mutants. Like literally, they're mutants, right? Their DNA is like half born from kaiju Godzillas or something, and they have these special powers. And the aliens want to take over the world. Then you have this one guy. You have a cast of all Asian actors, right? And then you know who's in it? Remember Don Fry? He used to be an MMA fighter. Don Fry is in this movie. He's the only American guy. And I'll tell you what, you can tell he's the only American guy. Everybody else is like talking, trying to be serious, and here he comes, like, hey, you know, by the way. That's right. I killed Godzilla in that voice the whole movie. He is hysterical. He carries around a samurai sword. He's fighting aliens. He's like, yeah, just continue. He's almost like Harvey Bullock. What do you mean? That's right. Let's go kill him right now. And it's just so stupid. Godzilla's literally fighting the plethora. He's basically his rose gallery he's fighting in this movie.
Yeah.
Because the aliens come over from this world. They take over all the kaijus. And he's literally he's literally fighting the Godzilla from the Matthew Broderick film.
Yeah, I was kind of looking at the pictures of it. Oh, and Don Fry's actually that. He's a UFC Hall of Famer. He probably famous for his bouts with Ken Shamrock.
Yeah, that's him. Yeah. And you just watch it for his scenes, because you see everybody else be very serious. Like, oh, my God, end of the world stuff. And he's just like, doesn't matter.
Was he rocking the big porn stash?
He was the porn stash. He's
rocking. Okay, cool.
Oh gosh, you guys have not. I think it's on HBO. It is on HBO.
Yeah, it's also called Godzilla Final Wars. It's called End Wars on HBO Max, but the Japanese version is called Final Wars.
So, yeah, basically the ending of their universe. But it's really fun. If you guys check out Kong vs. Godzilla, then check out this one. It's a fun movie. Ridiculous, but fun.
And don't forget to also, there is a 1962 version of Godzilla versus King Kong, or it's actually King Kong versus Godzilla in that one. So look that one up if you guys really want to have some fun and see how much better this movie is. If you don't agree with that,
like I said, if you want to see 2 hours of Kong versus Godzilla and this new updated one, you will not be disappointed. That's all I'm going to say. No spoilers, but you will not be disappointed.
Very cool. Yeah, can't wait. I think I want to find that one and put that on my watch list.
You gotta watch it. When you watch it, let me know. It's just ridiculous. It's almost like you have kaijus, Godzilla, space aliens, and these Matrix type people in there too.
Nice.
And it's trust me, watch it, you'll get a kick out of it.
Very cool. Guys, tomorrow, or actually today if you're listening on the actual regular podcast feed, today on April 5th is actually Star Trek First Contact Day, and they are actually really celebrating this on Paramount Plus, the service. They're going to be doing Star Trek panels throughout the day, and they're trying to make sort of an event of it, which I think is kind of cool. There is no Star Trek products or anything coming out anytime soon. I think the next one is Strange World, I think, is the next one, which I can't wait to see that one. But so they're going to be doing something. I know Will Wheaton's going to be on there. He's going to be doing some panels. And if nobody's ever seen any Will Wheaton's stuff, yes, he's one of the actors from Star Trek, but he is a big fan of Star Trek, and watching some of his Zoom meetings and stuff, he's definitely a sweaty when it comes to that product. So
big time sweaty. I love him in Big Bang Theory when he was on there. Hysterical. Yeah. When he was fighting this guy all the freaking time, like he had an issue with him. It was just hysterical. I didn't watch a lot of Big Bang Theory, but when he was on there, I watched.
Yeah. Basically, they're going to be having Star Trek First Contact 25th anniversary, which will be with Patrick Stewart, Jonathan Frakes, Brent Spiner, an Alison Krieg. So I guess, you know, it's 25 years since First Contact came out, just so you feel old. And then creating First Contact's panel, they're going to be talking to like some of the costume designers, Women in Motion panel. It's going to have some of the female cast from Discovery, Picard, Lower Decks, great show. They're also going to have Nichelle Nichols being on there as well, so talking. And, you know, she doesn't get out and do a panel or a cons anymore, not just because of COVID, but I think it was 2 years ago. She's like, okay, that was my last go around. She's just getting up in age and having trouble, you know, getting around.
So she was doing, I think she was on one of the Zoom meetings with Wheaton too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they all were doing that. You also are going to get a Second Contact panel, which will have Mike McMahon, who is a creator of Lower Decks. Awesome. Watch that one. That one is so much fun. There's also the Pod Directive, which is a podcast for Star Trek, and Brent Spiner and Jonathan Frakes will be on that. And a few other ones. So, yeah, throughout the day, they'll be doing live streaming. But, again, it's Paramount, so I'm sure you'll be able to watch it later. But yeah. for you Trekkies out there, you definitely want to reach out and, you know, see that. It should be fun.
Yeah, it's a fun little – I'll definitely check that. I'm not a big Trekkie guy, but anything, especially with First Contact, that was one of my favorite of the next – actually, probably of the next generation films that came out. That would probably be the best one. Would you agree or not?
Well, I like Generations, but yeah, I think that First Contact would, because it was a great ending to the Borg storyline, but it also planted the seed for Enterprise. Because a lot of what you saw in Enterprise, actually, they had a scene or an episode from Enterprise that was a direct connection to the end of First Contact, where they find the wreckage of the Borg. And they find the Borgs frozen, they reanimate them, and then they come back to life. And then that sort of answers the question is why in the original Next Generation show, the Borg were already sort of heading towards us, and they never got a real answer as to why. And what had happened is they had sent a signal just before their homemade Borg ship blew up. And they're like, well, the signal went out. Well, how long is it going to take it to get there? A couple of hundred years.
100 years,
and then that kind of, so it's a nice little, you know, bow tie or little bow on there to make it, you know, tie up the offer thing together.
Did they not also use one of the same scenes like later on in the season, or maybe it was season two of Enterprise, where it was basically a what if, and they had the same scene where the Vulcans had landed on Earth?
No, that was the introduction to the Dark Universe, their mirror universe. Yeah,
Where they actually, the Vulcans, and they murdered the Vulcans, dude. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What? And they got Robert Conrad to come back and kill Vulcans. I was like, what the hell is this shit? And like, you see, they weren't like Scott Bakula's, or he's wearing the old school Kirk, like the mirror.
Well, what happened is it all ties into the Mirrorverse. If you never watched any of the Mirrorverse, but in one of the Mirrorverses, we find that I think it was Deep Space Nine gets connected, where the Defiant gets put back in time. Well, it picks up an Enterprise where they find the Defiant. Because it all ties in. If you watch the original series, the Defiant vanishes. Then Deep Space Nine, I think, interacts. I don't think there was really truly like a Mirrorverse in Next Generation. I think it jumped.
Did they do Mirrorverse in
in Voyager?
Voyager.
I don't believe they did a Mirrorverse. But yeah, but it was Enterprise, the original series, and then of course, if anybody's watched Discovery, they've kind of reinvigorated the Mirrorverse, and it's a great way they did that.
That is one of my. That's probably why I like Discovery a lot more, because one of my favorite things about Star Trek is the Mirrorverse. Was the introduction in the old school series of that when you saw Spock with the goatee, but they continue with that, and actually in comics as well. What is one of my favorite things? The multiverses of DC. Yeah. Same. Yeah. Built from the Mirrorverse of Star Trek. So it all ties in together.
There's actually, I think, a DVD collection I think you can get on Amazon of all Mirrorverse stories. So they can kind of, so you can kind of watch them all. What I loved about Enterprise is when they did do the Mirrorverse, they actually changed their intro.
Yes.
And it was a different music. Like, they changed the theme song, and they made it more, you know, militaristic marching. And then they changed everything up to where you're seeing them, you know, taking over different worlds and stuff. I thought was kind of cool.
Even I think Next Gen had a Mirrorverse episode. Maybe not.
I don't think Next Gen did. That's the one thing I'm trying to remember. I don't.
No, because I remember an episode. Maybe it wasn't Mirrorverse quite, but I think. It was like, I think Gaia was Whoopi Goldberg's character. She had like a dream, and then she woke up and she was in the Enterprise, but the Enterprise wasn't a science ship. It was like a military warship.
Yeah, but I don't. Yeah, see, I remember that one, but I didn't think that was part of the Terran Empire.
Because I thought that was part of the universe, because it was like a different type of ship. It was the Enterprise. It had more guns on it.
Yeah. It was definitely more militaristic, but it was something about time travel. Something had changed in the time, but I don't think.
somebody that died was alive, but they had to die for it to continue. It was something. I think it was something like that, if I remember correctly. It's been a while since I've seen it. Anything with Mirrorverse, I'll get sweaty on. So I can stay stuck in the Mirrorverse all the freaking time. That's why I think I like Discovery. You know, it was slow building up for me. I was like, man, I don't know if I'm going to like this. But when they intro the Mirrorverse, I was like, okay, you know what? Let me just put my beer down. I'm going to keep watching this.
Yeah, I didn't want to hint you up to that because I was like, yeah. A Mirrorverse was only an original series, one episode in the original series, 5 episodes in Deep Space Nine, 2-parter on Enterprise, and then into course in Discovery. So, yeah, there was no Mirrorverse in
– okay. That's strange. They didn't use it there.
Well, again, I think they were trying to like do something a little different. They were trying to find themselves, and I don't know if that was maybe they never got to it because Gene had passed away too soon. Because I think he passed away. I think in their second or third season. Yeah. And you can kind of see the change, like around the time he passed away, and that's when Robert Kirkman, I believe, they took over.
Was it Orci as well?
Yeah, I can never pronounce his name.
Orci. I think Orci was supposed to direct the last Star Trek movie, wasn't he?
I believe so, yeah.
I don't know if he did or not, but.
Definitely something to look forward to. So yeah. What do you got next?
Well, guess what? They have announced the cast for The Long Halloween. It's the animated movie. It's going to be PG-13. And guess what? Jensen Ackles of Supernatural fame, he finally got his wish, Mike. He's playing Batman.
Well, I think you finally got the wish, too.
Yeah. Actually, I wanted that. I didn't think it was ever going to happen. But, yeah, he's going to be voicing Batman in the animated version of The Long Halloween. But he's filled out by Josh Duhamel. He's going to play Harvey Dent. Billy Burke is going to play James Gordon. Titus Wilver is going to play Carmine Falcone. Our buddy Dave Desmulchin, man, he loves weirdo characters. He's playing Calendar Man. Troy Baker. He of Joker fame for the Arkham games. He's going to be playing the Joker. Amy Lancashire is playing Barbara Gordon. Julia Nathanson as Gilda Dent. Jack Quaid as Alberto Fred Tarsoni. And as Solomon Grundy. Alistair Duncan as Alfred. And other cast members include Francis Collar, Greg Chu, Gary LeRoy, Greg, and James Pym. So not Hank Pym, but Jim Pym. So, yeah, it'll be fun to actually see The Long Halloween. I know they've used several Batman movies, but they borrowed elements of The Long Halloween, but we've never actually had a Long Halloween film. So, and it'll be fun. Plus to see Jensen as Bruce Wayne, Batman's is going to be a little kicker.
Yeah. And I'm always happy when they do adaptions into the animated universe. Cause I think DC's animated universe it's always been on point. They do the storylines the best. They don't have to deviate because technology's not there or anything. They just do the story. Except for maybe one they didn't really do, but you know, we don't talk about that one.
We don't talk about that one. Yeah. But it should be a fun little thing. Like I said, like you just said eloquently, they never mess up their animated universe. The keepers of that universe are pretty much on point. They, yeah. I'm not sure. I think I remember we discussed it last year, who was helming the animated verse. And I think one of the producers is going to join some of the film stuff, but, when they do their stuff, like I said, always on point, never disappointing. So it'll be fun to see.
Well, I think what happens there is it's them. They're doing their own stuff. You know, live action, they have to go through a production company, distribution company, and then of course, you know, more hands in the kitchen, and you know, we see what products come out like that. You know, the same thing can kind of be said. I mean, granted, I think you know Greg Berlanti's been you know at the helm of television. That's why there's such great continuity there. I think you know what we see on the animated movies and what we see on the television series, that's what they need to do. But again, you look at what Marvel did. They had one guy helming it. That's just what you need to do. Get everybody else out of the way. This guy's in charge. Let him do his thing. You put your faith in him and let them do it. But again, the mustache twirling, you know, studio execs kind of like, oh, that's kind of scary. That's where they mess up. You know, if they look at the products they have and how successful they are, they need to mirror that, but they just choose not to.
Yeah, because they get meddlesome and they're like, wait a minute, no, we're because what they've always been is they've always been reactionary. They never acted. They react to a situation, especially Marvel. They're like, oh my God, Marvel's doing this. I'm like, dude, don't worry what they're doing.
Yeah, don't look over there. Concentrate on your own stuff.
It's kind of like when I walk my dog at night, right? He pretty much focuses on everybody else instead of the task at hand, what he's got to do. He's like, looking like this. I'm like, dude, go this way. Don't worry about anybody else. So,
And that's something that I know of. So you've seen those in like, pep talks and stuff like that. Don't worry about what your competition is doing. Or worry about what you're doing or what was the last thing. Do better than the last thing you did. And that's just, you just need to chug ahead. But we shall see. But I can't wait for that. Was there a release date on that? Hopefully, I mean, obviously it's probably hope.
No one said, but I'm guessing.
Halloween, October-esque.
Probably Halloween.
I wonder if they're going to drop those on HBO Max or if they're going to wait for them. I can't remember what they did last time.
I think they still released them as straight to DVD, but and straight to DVD streaming. So I think they're going to do that, and then probably go to HBO Max because I think Red Sun was DVD because that was the last one, right?
No, not Red Sun. The new Superman one.
Yes, that was DVD, and I actually liked that movie, by the way.
I think eventually it went to HBO. So yeah. So if you guys will just have to look out for it and find it. We were talking about Godzilla and what great job they're doing. And director for Adam Wingard has been doing a great job. He has now been given control and he will be helming the Thundercats movie that we've been all wanting for quite some time. And obviously no word on it. He's just been now given the reins. So we'll see. But there's always been this ongoing, with the success or minor success of like the G.I. Joe movies and the major success of the Transformers movies. As much as anybody can say about what Bay did.
Made money.
He made money and big money too. Enough to do, four movies. So it's
did he do five?
Was it four, five maybe? No, I thought it was four.
It was five because it was Transformers Dark of the Moon, The Fallen, Last Night. And there was another one in there.
Yes, it was the only ones I can think of.
Because I know that the fifth one was with Anthony Hopkins in there. I remember that. Remember that I had that horrible version of Hot Rod where he was like French?
Oh, yeah. That pissed me off.
And Unicron was sort of there, but he wasn't.
Yeah. Just a spike sticking out of the world. Yeah.
just a slap in the face. I was like, really? That's all you're going to give me?
Yep.
And then you have the guts and the gall at the end of the movie to say, it's Unicron. He's coming. What? No. What have we been doing the whole film?
Yeah, exactly. it is, it's the 80s. That's still where they're looking at what's the word? I don't want to say vintage, but retro, you're bringing the retro back. We're still living in that time. Eventually, I'm sure they're going to start hitting the 90s, some of the 90s stuff eventually. We'll wait till that generation starts complaining.
I can't wait till that generation starts complaining. But I want to see this. I mean, this is like one of those properties that should have been touched a long, long time ago. But
I'm worried of how it's going to look. That's the main reason. I'm like, take your time. It can look goofy. I mean, just think, look at Cats.
I was just thinking.
Yeah, we're.
Look at Cats, guys. You don't want it to be like that.
But that's the problem, that they're cat humanoids. They're going to look like that. That's the problem, and that's why it's one of those properties I would love to see on the big screen, but honestly, I don't, because I don't think it's going to get done right. I don't care who's in the helm, Spielberg, Lucas, it's just I don't know if it's going to look right unless they go all CG. They can go all CGI, but that's expensive, and I don't think it's that big of a property.
Yeah.
You had Thundercats for four seasons?
I think it was three.
Transformers is going to give you more money because it crossed generations, and you had how many generations of Transformers and the Beast Wars and then the Headmasters and then the Army, Armada. You had so much, so you had a bigger group or a bigger fan base to come together. I just don't think you're going to get that with Thundercats. And that's the problem.
I mean, they had the original series, and they had that series too, which you told me was on Hulu. It was a great series, which sucks. I wish it didn't end after one season. They were going somewhere.
And then there was another one they had, like I think late mid 90s or something like that. There was another one that was horrible.
That's the one on Cartoon Network.
And then there's a new one. Well, no, there's a new one that came out. The one that's on Cartoon Network that's more of the like kiddie looking one. There's that one, and that's sort of picked up a little speed, but that's my only concern. I would love to see it, but at the same time, I don't know.
Yes, that's the thing. And I get you. That's my, I don't want it to look like Cats. So if it take your time, guys, because I think one of the things that's going to be tricky is what you just said, is the design of the cats themselves. Because if you do it wrong, you get cats.
But again, they're cat humanoid, so that's what you, that's what I expect.
Well, you know, they better hire some good costume designers and make it practical. I would go practical, you know. This is the first time you're putting this franchise on the big screen.
Yeah.
Go practical. Then if you make money, then you could throw in the CG. But you got to make it look good, though.
Yeah, that's the thing, yeah. I mean, to be honest, I would much rather see them try to redo He-Man than to see them do Cats. If they're going to try to do another 80s property, you know, or venture into something more practical, like a mask, you know, or something like that.
Was it Mask announced last year?
Mask has been kicking around for quite some time.
In development.
Yeah. Well, I know Seth Green's, he's a big, huge Mask fan, and I know he's been like really trying to push it. I think what you really need is you're going to need somebody that has the guts and the pull to do what Ryan Reynolds did, or to do what The Rock's doing. Now, I want this movie to get made. I'm going to push it to that point. I mean, like you joked about, you know, when we saw the, you know, Shazam and him starting it, you know, finally starting the film, it's been in, you know, development hell for like 8 years, but he's been that one that's helmed it. And the same thing with Ryan Reynolds. It took forever, but he got it made. And that's what I think you kind of need for something like that. You need somebody that's just going to, that's got the heart behind it and the love behind it and just does it. It's not doing it for a job, but they're doing it because they love the property.
Passion project for them, and that's usually when you get the best stuff. Is something that they're into. Like, yeah, I really want to do this. Let's go for it. Let's move forward, and hopefully they can find a big star that loves Thundercats, and maybe they could further and push that along. But we can only hope and see where it goes from there.
Yes. So, what else you got?
Well, guess what? The films, The New Gods and The Trench, which were in development hell, have finally been laid to rest. Yes, they have been canceled. At DC Films, they canceled both the shake up of DC Extended Universe, basically reported by Variety. Ava DuVernay's adaptation of Jack Kirby's New Gods and James Wan's Planet of the Trench have been both canceled, and there's no rescheduled dates for either of them. And to me, I think this is great news, because I didn't want any of these projects going forward, especially The Trench. I don't care about The Trench, but specifically The New Gods. I think after we saw The New Gods in Zack Snyder's cut, that's where they're like, wait a minute, people want this New Gods. That's what happened. I think sort of Snyder's cut ruined Ava DuVernay's chance to make The New Gods, because Zach, and he had mentioned this before, he had mentioned The New Gods thousands of times. Darkseid, hey, it's coming. So I don't even know why in the first place you had her attached to this film, because I don't think it was ever going to see the light of day when you had somebody already who had The New Gods in his film. And that's where they were going anyway. So it's just kind of mind-boggling, but I think once that was released, that Snyder cut, that pretty much was the end of The New Gods for Ava DuVernay.
She's still with them, so they're not going anywhere. That's one good thing. She's actually working with them on the Naomi series that's going to be coming out on CW. So she'll still have her fingers in DC. I think, like, yes, he was going his route. What I think they could have done is like he introduced them in that way, and she could have picked up and just took the look. It just made the storyline.
She wasn't going to do that. That's the problem.
Oh, she wasn't? Oh, okay.
No, that's the thing. Like, her adaptation was going to be all her. It was going to be standalone. And I think that was a mistake. If she would have picked up right where Zach would left and like, hey, guess what? The New Gods are out there. Like, literally before, if they had made a Justice League 2, you throw in the New Gods movie, then you get their backstory of a High Father, New Genesis, and all that stuff. I think it would have been great. But I don't think she was going to do that. And that's, you know, that's the problem. Like right now in the lexicon, in our minds, when we think New Gods, we think of that Snyder cut. You know, we don't think of like, and that's what that's in our head right now, unless, you know, they go further with that down the road. So we'll see. But I'm glad. Hopefully Zach will get his chance to continue, which, you know, you never know. So we'll see what happens. And The Trench, I really didn't want to see. I mean, were you up for a Trench film?
No, film was the one I was like, why are we going to see that? But again, he's attached to Aquaman too. Like these two projects, literally, we're talking 5 years down the road that they were looking at, because she's already attached to Naomi. He's already attached to Aquaman too. And we're not going to see those for another 2 years. So I wasn't like, that's why I was like, okay, they're going to bring them back. But I think they're just letting – I think – and especially when you look at the release dates of everything coming out in the next couple of years, they're stacked right now. Yeah, I think letting them like let it rest, let them focus on their two current projects and then bring them around, because the everything I had read about, like, because she was working with Tom King on the New Gods. That's why I think it was good. If she could take the borrow the look from Zach, but continue working with Tom King, I think would have been great, because she was bringing in Barda, Scott, Granny, Highfather, the Furies. I mean, so they definitely had a big plan. It's like I said, because it was going to be more based off of not so much Kirby, but more off of the Tom King. I think the what was that, his 2008 run, I think.
I believe so. I believe it was. I'm looking.
No. Well, yeah. But she's been working with Tom since 2018, so she's been working with him. Hand, you know. So I knew that it was in good hands. I don't think her storyline was going to be that whacked out. But I think you're right. The visual side kind of shocked them of what he presented in the Justice League. So, and hopefully we can maybe see more of that.
I hope so. Fingers crossed. I mean, at least they go forward with that. I mean, DC literally has the New Gods right there waiting. Ready to go forward. You gave us a tease now. Now I just got to let it all out. That's my opinion. But then again, you know, I don't have that money. I'm not one of the most balanced shorts at Warner Brothers. So, I mean, it's a smart idea, but, you know, who knows? Who knows what Warner Brothers does? They literally, like I've always said since day one, Warner Brothers has a pound of gold literally at their feet. And all they have to do is mold it. And they just, you know, they're getting there, but they're not there yet.
Yeah.
And I think it's because of just, you know, too much heavily interference from the studios and the high guys and up there, the yuppies, the guys who are not geeks, who are not fans, they're finance guys. You know, they're the guys who control dough. Like, I don't think that's going to make money, you know? So, but these two projects being dead, not a big deal, especially the Trench. The Trench we saw in Aquaman for like 10 minutes.
Yeah. And he's going to, and I bet you he's going to throw something in there since he's not, he's not going to do it. He'll probably have a Trench scene in there, you know, and say, I was able to do it. And,
yeah, he's like, it'll be like a 15-minute journey into the Trench. Hey, remember these guys? Yeah, but not needed. So what you got next?
Oh, well, we had a little bit of news come through for down a little bit down under. Apparently, Thor Love and Thunder has an extra cast member that showed up this week. Russell Crowe, Oscar winner star from Gladiator and, of course, Man of Steel. You got to love him for Man of Steel. But he has shown up. This is from Deadline that he had shown up to work with Tycho. And but no news as to what he's playing. So he's going to be added in as an extra cast member, right along with Sam Neill, Matt Damon, Luke Hemsworth. You know, they're returning for their characters from Thor Ragnarok, as well as I think Melissa McCartney is in there as a Hela. Have you seen the picture of her as dressed as Hela? Yeah,
great.
And I think her husband's also involved in the movie as well at some and doing something. But yeah, so Russell Crowe's in there, so it's really interesting what he's going to be doing, because you got to remember, this is also going to have, I think you're going to have Jamie Alexander returns as Lady Sif in here as well. Jane Foster, of course, with Natalie Portman, but from the Guardians of the Galaxy side, that's Chris Pratt, Karen Gillian and Sean Gunn are all going to be on there. And then only those three are going to be coming in joining the project. And then of course you have Christian Bale, but we know he's going to be playing Gore the God Butcher. But no news.
You think Russell might play Gore's father, like some kind of Norse god, maybe?
Maybe. It all depends on what route they're going. See, that's the big thing. I don't know what route they're going to take with the Jane Foster female Thor. What are they going to rip from the comic books? There's a couple of versions out there. So kind of which one are you going to go with?
Well, that's one of your favorite comic books, so.
Yeah, not a fan. Not a fan. And I'm not the only one, because, again, it was probably the worst selling series of Thor. And he's not a big seller to begin with, but that was probably the worst series. But, again, the fact that they're bringing in a lot of the older characters, which I was hoping when you and I originally talked about it, I was like, you know, if they brought in, like, Lady Sif back to kind of help her. Because, again, the Warriors 3 are gone now.
I kind of wish there was a way to bring the Warriors 3 back. So I had a discussion with a friend of mine at work. He's a big sweaty as well. And he's like, do you think the Warriors 3 will return because, you know, the snap happened? I'm like, no, they died before the snap.
They were
pretty much dead. But seeing staff Sif back, you know, at least you're giving a little bit of a semblance, because to me, the way the Warriors 3, the way they were treated in Ragnarok was the worst part of the movie. I think that's the part of the movie when we did our watch along, check out the archives and Here's the Silent Movies. That part was just a total disrespect to the Warriors 3. Mm-hmm. Literally a slap in the face. Like, literally no chance in hell. Like, I think, what was it? Like, that worst, like, 2 minutes, they were all dead. Yeah. And, like, what? Not even a fight?
Yeah.
But, yeah, so we'll see. They're having Sif back there, and I think Russell will probably play, like, an old Norse god or something.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe, yeah. It was kind of fun. Maybe he'll, you know, end up playing, like, you know, Jane's father or something. Yeah, I don't – it's kind of which route he's going to go. But something we completely forgot about, because I think we may have an answer, because I think we're going to have – I don't know if Loki's show is before Thor or after, in little time flips that they're going to be doing in that. Because if you watch the latest Marvel shows, WandaVision, you saw like a connection to two movies right there. And we were in the middle of Falcon and Winter Soldier, and we didn't talk about the new episode. But The very ending, there was a direct tie to Wakanda. So, you know, we're watching this, and you and I are probably, you know, we're both thinking, oh, this will be great. This will be like a nice lead into you know, where they're going to go. But I never thought about, you know, Wakanda showing up. And we're seeing, what was it, Ayo or Akoyo?
Ayo, yeah. He showed up, yeah. He's the guy that he plays Manape.
No. She was the, Did you not watch it?
No, I didn't see the ending.
Oh, smack you.
I saw the whole thing. I just didn't see that. I was like, there's nothing to watch. I was like,
yeah, wow. I know. He found a what it looked like a little pebble thing, and Bucky goes around the corner, and there's Ayo standing there, and she's, you know, she's like, well, we need to talk.
Ooh.
So if anybody remembers, that she was the second in command under King T'Challa. So hopefully, maybe we're going to see a connection with now Black Panther 2, and maybe a backstory as to what's going on, and maybe that this is where we're going to see the explanation of where he is. Yeah. But yeah, they're tying a whole bunch of stuff in together. We finally got to see Zemo. We finally got to see Sharon Carter on the newest episode. I mean, it's
both of those characters were awesome in this episode. To me, like, Sharon was awesome. You get an explanation of what happened to her after Civil War. She's on the run now. But just seeing Zemo, dude, doing the Zemo dance. I mean, come on, that is like the meme that's around the world right now. Yeah. Him just little fist bump dance, and him just being like, and I listen, we know who it's, Baron Zemo. But him having his official name just thrown out there, he's like, oh, you didn't know I was a Baron? Yeah, my family has dough. I'm like, wait a minute. So you've been in a German prison for how long? And this old man has been waiting with that plane outside for you for hopes that you're going to escape? that's dough, right?
Yeah, you know Alfred would do it for Batman. Come on. I mean, he's the evil Batman.
But this older general, he looked like he's up there. Like, he's near, like, I don't know, hopefully he's okay. But he's got some years in him, man. Like, hey, welcome, Baron. I'm like, whoa, how long have you been waiting?
It's been in there a while, man.
I'm just saying. And of course, you get the classic Zemo mask with the Marvel twist on
it. Oh, yeah, that was awesome. I love when he found it in the car. I was like, awesome, yes.
And you got the code. I'm like, okay. Yeah. It's not exact, but it's close enough.
It's close enough. We get to see Maripora for the first time. The city that basically, I mean, I loved that they brought that in. Again, a nod to the X-Men, because this is an area where the X-Men are known for. So who knows, we're going to see a connection. We don't. There's a mystery about Sharon Carter. I mean, we've got 3 episodes left. I don't know if we're going to get the answer, because she sort of like came in, did her thing, and kind of went off on her own.
Went in, like, that one girl picked her up. She's like, hey, we have some stuff we're doing. I'm like, ooh. I love the way how they open up other worlds within worlds. Mm-hmm. That's the best thing I can say that Marvel does, especially in these TV series so far with the two of them. They open worlds within worlds.
Yeah.
They're tying – they're doing exactly what – I thought CW was going to do with their DC and stuff. I mean, they didn't go that way. That's fine. We got multiverses, but yeah. I thought the way they're segueing, it just, to me, it's perfect. And I can't wait.
Yeah, and I was talking to one of our friends, and, you know, she watches it. She always, like, messaged me on Friday, hey, did you watch it yet? I go, no, I'm at work. You need to give me a second. But she made a comment. She's like, I hope, like, especially with, like, with Black Widow coming out soon, she's like, God, I hope we see more of her, maybe doing kind of like the backstory, kind of like what you're always like, I want to see a little bit more. I want to know what happened in Berlin, mm-hmm. you know, and stuff like that. And I was like, well, I always thought that's what we would get with S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, S.H.I.E.L.D.'s, you know, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s. And they missed that boat, but maybe we'll see that now with, like, kind of doing a share, if they do branch off and have Sharon Carter doing something, and seeing more like the espionage thing, because this captures the espionage feel to a T. I mean,
that's why I like it so much.
It's like watching a James Bond movie, but it's a television series.
It's like almost like the sequel to Winter Soldier is this, which is perfect because I told you how much I love that movie. I fought tooth and nail that we should have done it during our Marvel watch along, but we didn't. But
I think it deserves its own time. I think it stands alone. That's why. You know, not only that, I don't think it had an impact on the overall story. That's why we made that call. But I think it deserves its own kind of spotlight.
Maybe we'll do one of these months. We'll probably.
Oh no! I told you. Yeah, when we like I said, yeah, we're not going to do it now. But when we did the watch alongs last year.
I think we were doing Civil War. We kept talking about Winter Soldier. Yeah. We're like, hey, Winter Soldier would have been nice, and you kept saying, "Look, we're going to do it eventually."
Well, like I said, last year, what we did, guys, if anybody wants to go back and they can check it out on the Heroes of Silent Midnight movies, we did a watch along of what. I mean, it's a lot of movies. We couldn't do all the movies, but we did a watch along to what we felt was the most important ones to the Infinity War saga. Certain movies didn't fall into that category, and that was one of them. But it was a great movie nonetheless. And like I said, I definitely want to do it because I think it deserves its own spotlight, its own time alone, and not to be lumped in with the rest of them.
I just want to find out. And so far, they have not led me to believe that Zemo is the villain of this. Like, he's just basically along for the ride now.
No, actually, Captain America right now is the worst, more hated than he is.
Oh, yeah. Did I tell you that? I was like, watch, they're going to make U.S. Marshal the villain. And so far, he's a dick.
Yeah, U.S. Like, agent. Yeah, everybody hates him. And anybody, if there's anybody out there that's listening that hates him, it's a character, all right? You're not going to send hate mail to Anthony Hopkins because he played a great Hannibal Lecter. You're not sending hate mail to James Earl Jones because he did a great fucking Sith Lord. You're not doing that. Let that guy go. He's doing his job. He's making you hate him, all right, because he's that good of an actor. That's what you guys should be doing is celebrating his acting ability.
If you hate him, Wyatt Russell is doing his job.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. He's doing his job perfectly because you're supposed to hate him. He's taken over a beloved character. Mm-hmm. And of course, the next guy who's going to put on that suit, of course, is going to be freaking hated. Look at Jason Todd when he took over for Dick Grayson. Mm-hmm. Hated. They killed him off. They hated him. Hated him. He had to die to come back to be loved. Just saying. I mean, everything.
I think once they convert him over to be actually being U.S. agent instead of Captain America, I think that'll take away some of that heat. But I mean, this is a perfect example of great writing and great. I mean, this is I go back to, and I'll kind of promote your show a little bit here, but you did low blows and chair shots that you guys talk about wrestling and great writing and great heels, you know, the villain of the story. That's what those guys do. And back in the day, these people were so hated, they had to get police escorts out of the building because, you know, people thought the stuff was real. And that's what you're getting right now in a way, because you're having somebody so good at his job and his craft that people can't separate him from the character. But it's good and it's bad.
It's good, but it's I think it's more good than bad. It is bad, but it's more good, yeah. I think. It's a hate that's organic, and it's a hate that's built on the universe that's been built for the last 12 years. You're like, you have this guy, you love him, and you're like, oh, by the way, you know what he meant? Yeah, he's gone. Excuse me.
He's dying.
Not yet. I'm coming, Elizabeth. And then you're gonna give the shield to somebody else. And I think that's basically the whole thing is in the conversations that Bucky's having with Sam. Like, why did you give the shield away? And I still haven't gotten a clear answer why he gave it away. I mean, his whole thing is like, well, I'm not worth it. I'm like,
he's not worthy. I mean, that's it. End of story. He just felt like he's not worthy.
He's not worthy.
Yeah. Now, the only thing I got to say about him playing U.S. agent is I swear to God, he looks like Charles from Up when he wears the mask.
Oh, my God, doesn't he?
That's got that squished in face. I'm like, his face doesn't look like that. Why does he look so weird when he puts the mask on?
So strange. I think somebody has a Funko Pop out there of Charles from Up and with the U.S. Asian
kid. That's awesome.
And it's so scary. Like, oh my God, they somehow it is a Disney property.
Yeah. Maybe they're hinting that Up's part of the MCU.
Oh my God. You know what it is? Maybe what if a U.S. agent is actually Charles when he gets older?
Probably. Could be. I wouldn't be surprised. Best way to tie your world together. So what do you got next?
Obi-Wan has announced its cast. I mean, we knew this was coming. Hayden Christensen, you know, is going to be there. He's reprising his role as, I guess it's going to be Anakin or Darth Vader. That hasn't really said
yet. I thought what I had read was it was Darth Vader, that he was put. He was going to be wearing the suit, from what I had read, yeah.
Let's see. The series also includes Moses Ingram. Joel Edgerton is going to be back, which I think is cool. He's going to be playing Uncle Owen. Bonnie Pleas, who plays Aunt Beru.
Yep.
Kumail Nanjiani is going to be in it. Oh, India Verma, Rupert Friend. Sorry, guys, if I screw this up. O'Shea Jackson, who's actually become a really good actor, by the way. That's Ice Cube's son. Sung Kang, Simone Kessel, Benny Seif, Deborah Chow is going to be directing the first two episodes.
Oh, nice, very good. I'd like to hear that. She did great. She did great on the episodes of Mandalorian.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's the cast. We're getting Aunt Beru and Uncle Owen again, which is great. You have these other female characters. Some have speculated one of them could be one of the Night Sisters. I don't know if they're going to go that route because I think
not by a this bad time, idea. But I think they're all dead by then.
That's what I'm saying. You are more like the you've been more current with Rebels, and I think all the Night Sisters are dead, aren't they?
I think they died during Clone Wars, not Rebels, because I don't think they were around during Rebels.
What about the Inquisitors? Are they still out there? Or?
Inquisitors were the ones during Rebels, so that's probably what you're probably going to see, the Inquisitors. And then again, I think what you're going to really see is Obi-Wan, he's not just a hermit sitting out there. He's probably doing some traveling. He's probably trying to find the remnants of the Rebellion. Because there is that one comment, he helped my father during the Clone Wars, but I think he's kind of still helping the Rebellion in a more subtle way and not, being too obvious about it. And it's great. You definitely have to have Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru. There is talk. They haven't cast yet, but there is talk for young Luke. So we have to see that. And I'm pretty sure we're probably going to see a young Leia at some point, because I bet you we will have, we will have a trip to Alderaan. And see the Organas, and probably see a young Leia too. I think you just have to have that kind of seasoning in there just for ooh factor.
And it could be just one scene, like oh look at Leia, says that's her. That's
again, Bail's having a meeting, and she comes running in playing with a toy or something. Come back later, and just that's all we need. Just nice.
It's kind of like how Rebels did it when they had when you saw Obi-Wan out there and you saw Aunt Beru calling Luke and you see his shadowy figure just running through the sand as Obi-Wan is looking on.
Yeah.
And the Mandalorian, well, that's all you got
to
do.
Yeah. And that's probably what we're going to see. We're going to see something similar to that. And
as much as I have been saying for years in this podcast that I think they're going to have another battle, Obi-Wan and Vader, I'm starting to detract from that now. I'm starting to backpedal because I don't think it's going to happen. I think you're going to see Vader, but I think you're just going to see Vader from afar, basically. You'll be seeing him on the ship being like, because at this point he hasn't sensed Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan is probably not in tune with the Force at this time. So I just think you're going to see that. That's just to me. You're just going to see Vader from afar. Basically, you might see Tarkin maybe. And him and Tarkin like, hey, man, we're going to this planet here. This one. Oh, well, what about, Tatooine? Nah, don't worry about that place.
Yeah, I don't want to go there. He hates sand. That's the one thing he does not want to go back there. So that's why unless Obi-Wan leaves Tatooine, then there might be like where they run into each other, or maybe he senses Obi-Wan for a moment, kind of like how Luke, how he sensed Luke's presence on the shuttle, even though they didn't really interact, they could be flying by. I could see Vader being more hands on like seeing what he's doing. Like this isn't just Obi-Wan. This is also we're going to see what Vader's kind of been doing. So we might get a little bit more of a Vader show to this degree. I don't know how many episodes are going to be doing. But
it's a one shot. I think it's a limited series, and I heard whispers 10.
Okay, 10. Okay, that's about like what Mandalorian did around there. I think they did 8.
They did 8. Yeah, that's not certain.
But still, that's fine. But I think what we might see is like you were talking about the Inquisitors. Having Vader have one doing a search. Hey, they're still in the midst of the purge. They're still trying to find these Jedi's hiding out. So what we'll see is Vader going around the galaxy trying to find him. And maybe we're seeing Obi-Wan helping some of these Jedis, that are like trying to hide out. And he's, basically doing a kind of an underground railroad kind of thing with the Jedi.
Yeah. Basically, it's like he's just trying to hide him out. Like, man, don't worry about it. Get out of here. Go through here. Just like that. And anything, you see Vader in this series in action, it'll be him fighting those other Jedis and killing them.
That's what I would love to see. Yeah, seeing him hunting down Jedis, Obi-Wan trying to basically undercut Vader, but not realizing he's doing it, you know, because he still doesn't know who Vader really is at this point. Yeah, you know, I think that's what we'll hopefully that's what we'll see. I'd love to see that because I know Ewan McGregor's getting in shape. He's posted a few things where he's like getting into like back into fighting shape because of the, you know, the lightsaber duels he's going to be having.
You're not going to have Obi-Wan in the series not having fight with the lightsaber. That's all I'm saying. He's probably going to fight like some, you know, Imperial forces or some Knight and Inquisitors. He's going to fight. I just don't think him and Vader are going to fight.
Yeah, definitely.
Because if you do that, you're going to ruin the canon and all that stuff. But if it happens, I'd be presently surprised.
Yeah, I know you're something you want. That's why I was like, I think we're that's.
But do me and you both want it? Hell yeah! But I don't think
it's I don't know. That's something you know. That's why we always argued about it. I don't want to see them fight. To me, what that does is that kills off their final battle on Mustafar, and it kills off Obi-Wan sacrificing himself. If there's a meeting in the middle, to me, that's. Those are the bookends. I don't want to see them, you know, go face to face with each other. I'd rather them sense each other, you know, and maybe that's when Obi-Wan realizes who Vader is. Oh my God, I know who that guy is now. He is Anakin.
Well, the reason I say they could get away with it is that one line from New Hope. That's the only wiggle room you got. Remember that line he says on the ship, when last I saw you, I was a mere pupil. Now I'm the master.
And again, but that line, you can say the same thing. You can take my side of it and saying the last they saw, he was the pupil when he got his ass kicked in Mount Mustafar. That's what I'm saying. You can take that line and go either way.
You literally could because at that point when he was fighting him, he was no longer a pupil. He was already Vader. So, and he wasn't a Jedi. Well, like I said, I could see both sides.
Yeah.
Literally, pretty much.
So, the last one I have, and this one kind of fits into your world, looks like Robert Pattinson's The Batman reportedly is going to be set on DC's Earth 2, which is interesting because there are a few different. There are two Earth 2s, depending on which one you look at. You have a Earth 2 that's the number 2, and there is a Earth 2 that is TWO. The Earth 2 TWO is an older one, but the Earth 2, the number, is actually the one where the Obama Superman
is there. Yeah.
Is there. And so, I mean, if they are going that route and if they stick to that, their concept of a Black Label-esque universe for those, him, the Joker. I could see them going that route, especially because, you know, there is that want from certain people to have that Superman show up.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. And, you could literally do that. And a lot of the residents of Earth 2 are dead.
Yeah, when you look at the list.
Look at the list, like Batman, dead. Catwoman, dead. Some guy named Mr. QB or Mr. 08 dead. Superman, Kal-El dead. Wonder Woman dead. Like the big heroes are dead.
Yeah.
So this Batman being around is a and actually the Batman they have pictured here. He looks, his costume design looks very similar to Thomas Wayne.
Well, there is a Thomas Wayne 2, I think, in that universe, if I remember correctly. So that might be kind of where it's hinting at that's that Batman's version. So, but yeah, it's kind of cool that they are connecting it to a Earth instead of creating its own and saying, hey, you know what, you know, this one's branched off and he's like, you know, Earth 2021 or something like that, you know, whatever they want to call it. But it is kind of interesting because maybe they can connect and grow that world a little bit more and bring in what they've talked about. You know, Michael B. Jordan has been, you know, wanting to do a Superman. If they do that version of the Superman, I've got no problems with that.
Yeah, they've already said it's Earth 2, and you know, last year during that DC fandom, they did discuss the theory of the multiverse. So, you know, it's right there, and you know, it doesn't take away, like, if they did want to do a Batman continuation of Zack Snyder's universe, it doesn't take away from that because you basically have just said this is Earth 2 Batman. And when I heard that, I was like, okay, and I should have known that, being a fan of the multiverses, I was just being stupid. But now that I hear that, I could see this Batman movie. Just as in Earth 2.
Yeah. Still doesn't take away I don't like him, though. That doesn't change the fact. You can be in Earth 2. I still don't like what they did.
I still, by the way.
Sorry.
Maybe I'll cue my music up here one of these days. Still don't like it. Sorry, guys.
All right, guys. Well, that is it for Heroes Asylum. This week on our Midnight Movies, we're going to be dropping a special solo movie watch along for the 80s, because we're jumping in the 80s in April, and we're going to be doing, or Kane did, Cocktail. So we'll definitely be having that. And Kane's latest episode, actually, no, Kane unfortunately was not on that one, but the latest episode for Kane's other podcast for Low Blows and Chair Shots has the reigning champ of showing up as Mr. Willie Veal or Hotshot.
Oh, yeah. So, actually, I heard episode 7 is actually really good. You did a good job on that.
I was the guest. But hopefully there might be some for the future show. You guys are going to be talking about WrestleMania.
Yeah, WrestleMania, I believe, is
this weekend. Sunday. Yep.
Yeah, so we're going to be doing some predictions of WrestleMania, our ideas, what's going to happen, who's going to win, who's going to lose, what are the new storylines going to be created after.
Mm-hmm. And, so, who knows, you may have some guest stars or guests.
We may have some guest stars. I'm working on one. One might definitely be there, but another one I'm really trying to get to be on there.
So it might be a fun show to check them out. If you guys want to, check them out at the bottom of the description. I put a link to their podcast there. You guys can subscribe to them. They also have a Facebook page to check them out. But I hope you guys have a great week. And Kane, what else you got?
Twitter @TheHeroesAsylum_podcast. Instagram @TheHeroesAsylum. Check out Low Blows and Chair Shots. Episode 7 is up. And check out the Facebook page on Instagram and on Twitter. And as always, from Mike to me to you, happy Easter and get to the asylum. See you soon.
See you guys.